When you need to know, ask a pro. Here's a unique inside look into our golf scene as Liza Churchill sits down with members from the New England PGA. Here's Liza.
My guest today is NEPGA's Brian Bain. Brian is the head golf professional at the Robert C. Lynch Municipal Golf Course in Brookline, Mass. since 2003. Welcome, Brian.
Good morning, Liza.
How you doing? You're coming up on your ninth season there.
Things are going great. You know, we're off to a decent start as long as we have good weather. The spring was a little tough to get going, but so far the last month or so, weekends have been terrific, which is a good sign. And when the weather's good, the golfers are out.
Definitely. You've been a PGA professional for 18 years now?
I've been involved with the association and working at golf courses for 18 years. I've been a PGA member for 11. Just had my 11th anniversary as being a PGA member, and I was an apprentice for 3 years going through the program prior to that, and I spent a few years while in college working at a golf course before I got into the program.
So what precipitated your decision to, you know, be a PGA professional?
It's a funny story, Liza. Neither of my parents play golf, and I didn't play golf growing up. I started at a later age. I started when I was 17 years old. Actually, my uncle's a big-time golfer. They got into the game, and they had tickets to the U.S. Open, the 1988 U.S. Open, right here in Brookline, actually, next door at the country club, and gave my dad and I tickets to a practice round. And from there, I got hooked on the game, and that fall, the fall of 88, Walpole Country Club had a ad in the local Walpole Times. They were looking for an older retired person to work at the course, and I figured I fit the bill at the ripe age of 17. So I made a phone call and went down. I still had not played the game. I grew up playing hockey my whole life, and I got the job and started working at the bag room. All the college kids had gone back to school, and you know, the golf professionals that were down there, the PGA members, Bruce McDonald and Phil Fecto and Ed Warnitz, they brought me along slowly and shared tips with me, and I spent a lot of time practicing and started playing and played on the high school team for a couple of years before I went to college. But I just loved being around the game. So when it came time to apply to college, I wanted to get a business degree because it was something that I had a passion for, and being a PGA golf professional is not only helping teach the game of golf and those types of things, but it's being a business person, running your pro shop, budgets, things like that. So I ended up going down to Bryant College to get a degree in finance, played on the golf team a little bit down there, worked at golf courses down in Rhode Island.
So a lot of hockey players are really good golfers, aren't they?
There seems to be a connection there. I tend to think it might be, you know, there's that downtime during the summer, and if they're competitive, and it's the hand-eye coordination, I think, which is the big thing that hockey players tend to pick it up quite easily.
So did you think that you just have natural ability? Did you take a lot of lessons?
No, I was more self-taught. That, like I said, that the PGA golf pros would share tips with me, do this, and, you know, they would give me one little thing when I was, you know, hitting balls at the range or putting, and you know, it was like sort of just adding on each time they saw me. They'd say, all right, now do that. And, you know, and I spent a lot of time, you know, hitting balls at the range and practicing in the sand traps and putting. And, you know, and I just had a passion for it and really enjoyed it. I enjoyed being outside. I enjoyed the people. And that's what being a golf professional is. You have to be a people person. If you enjoy being with people, that's our number one thing.
You specialize in junior golf. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think it probably has to do with not having, you know, played as a real junior myself and taking the game up at, you know, as a late teenager. You know, I try and get the younger generation more involved at a younger age. I think you pick it up a lot quicker. And some of them might not play their whole lives, but, you know, they tried it. We gave them a taste of the game, and, you know, they might come back after they finish school and whatnot and start playing again. But we just have to give them an opportunity to play the game and try the game.
Now, how important do you think it is to use golf as a way of teaching life skills to the junior golfers?
I think it's very important. I think they go hand in hand. we got involved last year with the National Golf and Schools Program here in Brookline at one of the elementary schools at the Baker School. And we're going to be expanding to have two of the elementary schools here in Brookline. The juniors are actually, and the students are actually being taught golf and life skills during gym class, which is pretty unique. It teaches them respect, honesty, integrity, all great things that any person could use. So I think the game of golf brings a lot to the table, not only the social aspect, but the life skills that go along with it.
And the Baker School in Brookline, is that along with the First Tee National Program?
Correct.
The First Tee?
Yep, the National Golf and Schools First Tee Program, the Baker School, and we just got awarded some grant money. We're going to expand. We're going to have two schools, so it'll be the Baker School here in South Brookline, and across town we're going to be doing the Devotion School. So what that entails is the PE teachers at the schools actually are trained to start the students off learning the game, and then myself and a couple of my staff members will go in and make guest appearances throughout the year to the school to help out the juniors to expand on the skills that they've already been taught and to become the next face of the game, so they can, you know, they're already comfortable with their PE teacher. So then we come in and they get to know us a little bit, and then we actually invite them for a field trip to the golf course, which for a lot of them, they have never been to a golf course. So that first time on a green, you know, they think it's a fake rug. So it's fun. It's a lot of fun seeing the expressions on these kids' faces the first time they get to a golf course.
That's really exciting. Now, where do they get the equipment from for the program?
The
golf club stuff.
The National Golf and Schools Program, what that equipment, what it entails is it's the Starting New at Golf equipment. SNAG is the name of it. And we're using, you know, they're like tennis balls, Velcro tennis balls and bigger plastic clubs. The number one thing when you're teaching, you know, a gym class of 30 students is safety is our number one concern. So with the plastic clubs and with the tennis balls, which are a little easier starting out, it's a lot of fun. The equipment actually has a Velcro suit that one of the instructors can wear, or the PE teacher, and it's got a hockey helmet, and the Velcro tennis balls can actually, you know, you can shoot them at the person that's wearing a suit, sort of jumping around. So the kids, you know, get a lot of laughs out of that. And, you know, that's the great thing about the game. It's you're outside, it's a fun game, and it's healthy. But, you know, when you add that fun element to it, that's when you really get a kid hooked.
I think so, too. And that's part of your teaching philosophy, isn't it?
It is. You got to keep things fun and simple. And, you know, we're in this age of instant gratification. And, you know, I think that's one of the issues with golf is that it takes so long to play and it takes so long to learn. So we have to keep it fun. And once you stop keeping it fun, then that's when the people are gonna lose interest.
And you also have an amazing designation, one of the U.S. Kids Golf Top 50 Teachers in the United States Award. Can you tell me about your master teacher designation and how you came about all that?
I was fortunate enough, U.S. Kids Golf, which is probably the number one junior golf equipment manufacturer, you know, in the country, started back in 2004, sort of highlighting the top 50 junior instructors or golf professionals for their commitment to helping young players learn the game of golf. And I was fortunate enough to be in the top 50 in from 2004 through 2007, which was a lot of fun, and I got some great networking with other top instructors. And then in 2008, what U.S. Kids Golf did was that they took the top 50 master kids teachers, which the master kids teacher, you had to be a top 50 teacher for at least 3 years. So in that inaugural class in 2008, there was 18 of us that were, you know, recognized for what we do and helping grow in the game of golf with kids and getting them involved.
Congratulations. That's an amazing designation, and obviously not too many in the country have it.
Yeah, I've been pretty fortunate. And like I said, it's something I just have a passion for, and then to get recognized by your peers for doing something that you love is really great. And the networking and the friends that I've made because of that, you know, I can call up friends that I have in Pennsylvania, Tennessee, who are doing similar things that I'm doing, and pick their brain, bounce ideas off them, and what do you think of this, which is really cool, you know. that's what it's all about. And you know, you don't always have to reinvent the wheel. It's about sharing ideas and trying to get the best to happen for the kids.
You're also on the National PGA Junior Golf Committee. And can you tell me, you know, what sort of things locally you're doing to help to grow the game of golf here in New England?
I'm on the National Junior Golf Committee, and I'm serving right now. I'm serving my second term on that committee, and that's been a great learning experience being involved on the national level. We just came out with a new program called the PGA Sports Academy to help develop junior players across the country. The United States seems to be slipping. There's some other countries that seem to be sort of the cream is rising to the top. So we came out with a new program hoping to try and develop our junior golfers a little bit better, and which will help grow the game. You know, you look out on the PGA Tour right now and see a lot of the winners are coming from over in Europe, and especially the major championships, the winners are coming from over there. So hopefully this new program will help jumpstart something great, that we'll start to see some more homebred winners out there, especially in the majors. And, you know, what we're doing, you know, on the local scene to help grow the game, I'm the chairman of the Growth of the Game Committee for the New England PGA, and we're just trying to get out there and get in front of people and give free golf lessons. We were just in town a couple weeks ago at the Channel 7 had a Boston Health and Wellness Expo at the Hines Convention Center, and we were in there on Sunday afternoon giving free golf lessons to people, just letting them know about the game. A lot of people, you know, they might see it on TV, they've never had a chance to swing a golf club. So that's what it's all about. It's just giving people a chance to try the game. You know, like I said, it's a fun game, it's a healthy game, it's a sport of a lifetime. Any age can play. So I'm involved with that, trying to get the word out there. We're trying to grow the golf in schools program here in Massachusetts. We got four schools with the first team National Golf in Schools program last year. We have four more schools that are going to be starting this year, so we'll be up to eight that the New England PGA has helped sponsor here in Massachusetts, which is good. And then I'm also involved with the Northeast Accessible Golf Association, which is a new organization that just started probably back in the spring. A gentleman, Fred Corcoran's the director, and what that is, it's just an association trying to get people out there with disabilities to get out and try the game, that they can play the game. And we do a lot of free golf clinics, myself and Bobby Beach, who's the head golf professional down at Braintree, you know, with Special Olympics and U.S. vets. We do a free clinic here on every Thursday at 1 o'clock for U.S. vets who went to the local VA hospital last year and just offered what could we do for them. So we started free clinics last year, which have been great. You know, we get 6 to 8 vets every Thursday afternoon from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, myself and Larry Coletti. Larry's my director of instruction here at the golf course. He's a PGA professional as well as a vet, which has been good. And some of these vets, you know, when they have a bad day now, they say they go home, they get their golf clubs. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have some of the amputees and disabled vets?
One of the vets that we worked with last year, Peter, was an amputee, and he was a great athlete. And he had never golfed before, but he is a personal trainer, so he's, like I said, he's very athletic. So he came last year to, you know, 3 or 4 of our clinics. And another gentleman that we work with through that Northeast Accessible Golf, who's involved, you know, on the board of directors with it, Jerry Donovan, he used to work for the Boston Gas Company. He's paralyzed from the chest down, but he's just a great inspiration to others, you know, that don't think that they can do it. So he has a portable golf cart that he can, you know, take around, and he gets up and he chips and putts with two hands, and then when it's time for the full swing, he just uses his right hand to drive the ball and hit his irons and stuff. But it's just getting out there, and he'd tell you himself, it's being out in the fresh air, it's being out there, the social aspect of the game, you know, it's great. It's good for the mind.
I think so, too. I want to know, Brian, how you find time to participate in so many New England PGA activities.
I've been pretty fortunate having worked here, you know, 9 years, that the town allows me to be involved, you know, with our association and helping grow the game. A lot of these programs we do here at the golf course at the Robert T. Lynch Municipal. So we'll do these programs, and these people that we're trying to help or get introduced to the game, you know, they feel comfortable coming to the course here. So it's good. And the other day I was out on Wednesday, and three of the vets that we give the clinics to on Thursday were out there playing, you know, together. The three gentlemen that had never met each other before came to the clinics together, and, you know, now they're playing golf together. So that's what it's all about, and we make them welcome them here, and we make them feel comfortable. So it's good, and the town allows me to be involved and give back.
So you've also been, you know, president of the Massachusetts chapter of the NEPGA and all that. Are you planning to run for office, try to be on the national committees?
Well, I've been fortunate. I've served on the Mass chapter. I've served all the chairs, and currently I'm on the New England PGA Board of Directors, and my term's coming to an end this fall. I am running for Secretary Treasurer this fall, which would be, you know, one of the three offices for the New England section. So when we go to our fall meeting, which is down on the South Shore this year, in October, there will be an election, and, you know, everybody that attends that meeting has a vote. They'll vote, and, you know, we'll see how things go.
Definitely good luck with that then.
Thank you. It's just something that, like I said, I like to give back. I have a passion for it. I'm just trying to help inspire others to do the same and pay it forward.
I just have a couple global questions for you. I know that you said that you have dual citizenship. You must be very interested in the global growth of the game with the juniors. What did you think of U.S. Open champ Rory McIlroy's win recently?
I think it's great. I do have dual citizenship. My grandparents are from Ireland, and I've been fortunate enough to have been over there a couple times on golfing trips with members in the past few years, and I do take a big interest in the global game, as they say. I think it's good for golf in general, and whether it's U.S. golf or European golf, it's nice to see the different people winning. Last year at the Deutsche Bank Labor Day weekend down in Norton, I was very fortunate to spend the pro-am round inside the ropes with Rory McIlroy, and I was very impressed by him. A couple years back, I was doing the same thing, and I was with Patrick Harrington, and that was probably 3 years ago, and Patrick at that time was telling me about Rory. So they've had his eye on Rory for a few years as the next up-and-comer, and he's lived up to that. The way he handles himself is beyond his years. I think he's 22 now, but his composure and everything is unbelievable. Especially, you know, after the last round of the Masters, what transpired, and he had a bad round. And I think David Ferretti said to him, asked him when he was leaving that night if he was all right. And Rory said, if that's the worst day of my life, I think I'm doing okay. So, I think that's a great thing. I think his parents did a great job with him. I was very proud to see him win. I think it's good for the game, and I think he's going to have quite a few majors when his career is finished.
What's your view about teenagers turning pro so young, like the pressure of it? And, you know, say Michelle Wee or Lexi Thompson getting exempted into the LPGA this past week. Like, what do you think about that?
I think, you know, I think you look at some of the younger, so the LPGA Tour, for instance, and Michelle Wee and Lexi Thompson, you know, that might be a little bit young. You don't see much of that happening on the PGA Tour or the European Tour. There is that one person on the European Tour, I forget his name, I think he's 17 or 18, that's doing quite well.
The Italian?
Yeah. The Italian there. And he's doing quite well. I think he actually went up there last year. But the majority of the top players in the world, even European players, a lot of them have, you know, gone on and played junior golf and then gone on to actually play college golf over here in the States. I think it's good. I don't think at such a young age they've developed all the skills that they need. And I think it's good for them to get the education. The education is priceless, no matter whatever it is, I think. And I tell that to all the juniors that we go through here, and we have junior programs every week. We run camps, clinics, junior four-ball leagues, everything. I tell them that, you know, I don't care that you're just doing well in golf. You got to do well in school. You know, that's the whole key. They both go hand in hand. So I think the education is important. I think they learn to grow up a little bit through their college years, and that will only help them for, you know, the future couple years after if their, you know, goals are the PGA or the LPGA Tour.
Life experience and, you know, injuries too can ruin a career.
Yeah, I think the pressure, You know, I think Michelle Wee having tried to play on the men's tour actually hurt her because she wasn't winning right away. If she had gone out on the LPGA tour, she probably would have won right away and dominated. But that never came to be. And you know, it's like teaching someone to putt. If you're out there practicing putting and you're missing, you start to think you're a bad putter. And that's not necessarily the case. So that's why I try and tell my students, you know, practice from 3 feet in and just continually hear the ball and see the ball go in the hole, and you'll start to think you're a good putter. And confidence is a big thing. So I think that, you know, by waiting a little bit, getting a little bit older, stronger, and then the winning comes, I think that's what needs to happen for the juniors going through the ranks before they make it to the big scene, as they say.
Some of the golfers are field players and, you know, they learn on their own. But then there's such methods like stack and tilt. Do you think that a method like that would be applicable to a junior golfer?
I think it is. I wasn't a big advocate, to be honest with you, of the stack and tilt. And I actually went to a one-day seminar this past spring down at the Harmon Club with Andy Plummer and Mike Bennett. And I wanted to see firsthand and hear from them about the method. I wasn't an advocate of it, like I said. Once I heard it from them and they gave pictures and some testimonials of why it works and what it works, and they talked about it now, and then they talked about golfers in the past, and they showed the pictures side by side, I think it's something that's been going on all along. If you look at most of the players on tour right now, they're all pretty much doing the stack and tilt. They might not call it that. A lot of them don't want to call it that. I know J.J. Henry works closely with them, but you can never say the word stack and tilt to him. But he is doing the method, if that's what you'd like to call it. But I think it does work. I think it's something I've started to implement into my teaching. And that's the great thing about the game, that it's always changing.
I actually had Mike and Andy on my show recently, and I asked them why their method is so controversial, because there's haters or there's huge advocates, and they said that most teachers aren't out there publicly with their teaching style and their teaching method. So the fact that they came out there with all their CDs and DVDs and they're very open about it, that opened them up to a lot of criticism.
It did open them up to a lot of criticism, and everybody sort of has their method. But if you look at it at the end of the day, Liza, you know, I think we're all trying to create people to help them enjoy the game more. We don't need to recreate the wheel all the time. And if their method makes sense and it's simple and it works, that's what it's all about. And they're willing to share it. That's what impresses me. It's not some big secret. Oh, I spent the day with them. There was probably 60 New England golf professionals down there, PGA members learning their way. And I have some great friends that are great instructors, in New England PGA instructors, have been teachers of the year, and they're using the method. So that's why I wanted to see what it was all about, and it works. It's about helping others become better at what we do. And I was fortunate that day down at the Harmon Club, Brad Faxon was there. I had known Brad from being down, and I was down in Rhode Island for 12 years at golf courses, and had crossed paths a few times and actually had lunch with them. And I asked him, you know, what did he think of the method? And now that he's out there on tour and he's actually driving the ball straighter, he's working with both Andy Plummer and Mike Bennett now. He's driving the ball 6 to 8% straighter. But being a commentator, he wants to learn all the methods that there are out there. And his words to me were, their method is going to change the way that golf is taught. So here's somebody that's out there on tour, has been out there for many years, and he's a big advocate of it. It's simple. It's not as complicated as it seems. And once you get to see, you know, once they explain it sort of in layman's terms, sequence by sequence, it's very simple to get.
For more information on where people can contact you for lessons and so forth, Brian, your website is BainGolfPGA.com, and you're on Facebook at BainGolfPGA.
Correct.
Right.
And also just started tweeting as well as BainGolfPGA.
You did.
So we're trying to embrace all the social media that's out there. It's it helps and gets the word out there. And, you know, we're all after the same thing. We're trying to help create more golfers and get people to enjoy the game more.
What's your Twitter handle?
Bain Golf PGA as well.
Brian, thanks so much for coming on, and best of luck for the rest of the summer season here in New England. And maybe I'll see you at the Deutsche Bank Championship in Labor Day.
Great, Liza. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're listening to Goldie Bounce Golf Live on 95.9 WATD.